Celebrating its 50th anniversary this year, Tony Award-winning rock musical Hair takes audiences back to the counterculture of the 1960s with now classic songs like Aquarius, Good Morning Sunshine, I Got Life, and many others. The Berkshire Theater Group presents Hair at the Unicorn Theater in Stockbridge, Massachusetts, through the 11th of August. The production is directed by Daisy Walker. We are joined by three members of the cast. Andrew Sakala, did I say that correct?
Yes.
Andrew Sakala is here. Brandon Contreras is here. Good morning, Brandon. How
morning.
Are you?
Doing well.
And Kayla Foster joins us. Hello. Hi. How are you? Andrew plays Claude, Brandon plays Berger, and Kayla plays Sheila. It's a delight to have you all on the program.
Thank you for having
Thanks
us.
Thank you so much.
All right. So what is it like to be doing this show? Let me begin with you, Andrew, of what your familiarity was with the show coming into doing this.
Well, growing up in musical theater, you kind of know about Hair because it is such a classic work. And of course, I know the songs, as you mentioned.
Yep.
But the story, I didn't really know a ton about. But then going through high school, we learn in history classes and everything about the protest movements and everything. So coming into it, I had a little bit of an understanding of the time period and everything, but Daisy was so helpful in terms of letting us know about the time period, and we had great dramaturgical work from our assistant director and everything, so they kind of gave us a full circle thing of everything in the show.
Brandon, how about you?
I've always been familiar with Hair. I've always loved musicals, and especially my parents. My dad would wake me up in the morning with Good Morning Starshine, which was really funny, and he can't sing at all, but bless him, bless his heart.
but enough to get you.
But
up.
Enough to get me up and at him. But even going to school for musical theater, it's something that I've always been familiar with, and with the music that I loved so much. And you know, like Andrew said, history classes, you learn so much about that movement, and then the artists that helped that movement, and then the musicals that were created from that movement, which really kind of inspired it and inspired me.
And Kayla, your familiarity with this work coming in?
The thing that I can think about thinking back is the images of Hair that we sort of grew up seeing of like Let the Sunshine In with the group of hippies
right.
with their arms in the air.
Yeah.
That feels very iconic to me. I also saw Diane Paulus's revival on Broadway, which was awesome. And I just remember I was in college and just sitting there and having all these hippies sort of like come at you. It was so cool.
Yes.
It was,
and you could
it was
go up
so different.
The, like, they had people on the stage. Mm-hmm. You could come on the stage, and it was very interactive.
Just so different than anything you see in a Broadway theater. So it really struck me.
Now, the cool thing that I think this is cool anyway, you're doing it at the Unicorn Theater, which is such a beautiful, intimate space mm-hmm. that it must be, as you said, having all those hippies coming at you. I mean, so to feel that in such a space must be very powerful, I would think.
I think it's powerful as an audience member and as a performer. On the audience side, I'm sure to get to have everybody so close to you and feel like you're sort of part of the tribe is really cool. But then also as a performer, when I sing I Believe in Love and I'm singing about something that feels very close to me right now, to be able to look into people's eyes and connect with them is really unique and very cool.
And it's from the gate. Like it's from the first, like maybe few measures of the opening number, Aquarius, that we're in the house and we're a part of their world, and they're just a part of our show from the gate. It's really cool.
And that feeling of, are you always on stage or do you also go in the audience too?
Oh, we go in the audience.
Yeah.
And then that's fun, I would assume.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
So, Andrew, tell us about Claude.
Claude is a draft age youth, about 18 is how I'm playing him, and he is, in our version of the show, he's new to the tribe, and he's sort of deciding whether or not he should burn his draft card and go to war, or stay behind, and it's just about his conflict, and that's usually the main plot point of the show.
And for you?
Berger is kind of a wild card, I think. I've always been really fascinated with Berger, and this being the first time I ever played him, I really was interested in his world of escapism, how he uses drugs or non-emotional attachments, to really go through his story, to really detach himself from, you know, the one person that I think he would truly care about, Sheila, to his tribe, to his community, and then also to the world and the things around him, even to the point where he finally realized that this is a huge thing, that he's not in school, he's kicked out. That means he's bait now. He's Vietnam bait. And I think that whole world and that whole journey to take for Berger is really kind of fascinating, kind of makes a whole big circle in him finding himself through his escapism. It's really cool.
And then I'll ask you the question too.
It's interesting that Brandon just spoke because I feel like Sheila's a very unique counterpart to Berger because she's so aware, she's so present, she's so is so emotionally tied to what's going on in the world, in the country. She's very passionate about making change. And it's just their storyline is very interesting. Her attraction to him is very interesting, but opposites attract, I guess.
Oh yeah.
You know, it's interesting that she, who is like Sheila Franklin, second semester at NYU, and she is a protester. That is how she's defined, is like trying to make change and trying to make a difference. And that she sort of surrounds herself by somebody who chooses to escape.
But it's so weird that I feel that it works. Like it just fits.
Well, it's real.
Yeah.
It's very real.
You can't help but who you love. Yeah. And it definitely for this show, it really, for them two at least.
Mm-hmm.
So you're wearing a khaki green jacket.
Yes.
And I'm wondering, like, would you have been wearing that, you know, 2 months ago if you weren't doing this show? Or
probably.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Sheila's very in me. She's just like very
okay.
The vibe.
All right.
Even in my audition.
Does it have writing on
like,
the back of it?
No.
Oh, okay.
It has flowers, though.
Not a Melania thing? Okay.
Yeah. I was very, when I was getting ready for my audition for this, I was like, okay, so that, and that, what I already own. But also the 70s and the 60s is like very current right now, you know?
Sure. Now, and then, Brandon, you have a necklace on that has like pressed flowers.
Oh, yeah, pressed flowers.
So that seems very of the moment.
I think this kind of influenced me to wear a little more jewelry. And this was given to me by my sister right before I left for this contract.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it was a really lovely talisman.
And well, you look like you got out of L.L. Bean, but I don't know.
No.
The trip.
It's funny when you go.
I think I have that plan.
Mm-hmm.
When you
do.
Go into a room with a group of actors who got cast in Hair,
yeah.
It's a very specific vibe of people. I think that, like, because
like
musical
you just automatically smell patchouli.
Yes.
It's just,
yes. It's a very specific kind of actor and a specific musical theater actor that is cast in Hair, I think.
Yeah.
Like, there's such a vibe in the room always, like the first day.
The things that you have to catch into, I mean, who you are as a person is fascinating.
I talked to Kate McGuire, our dear friend Kate McGuire. I talked to her about this last year. I talked to her about this at the beginning of the season where she, last year when she was making the decisions as to what would be on the season, and she said she wanted to get plays that got us thinking of where we are right now, and this is very important to her to present Hair, and that was echoed in the spring because guess what, not much has changed unfortunately over the last half a year. So I ask you of what kind of was that a discussion at the beginning of the conversation of how this work that is celebrating its 50th anniversary remains relevant and how you as actors keep it relevant for the audience coming to see it nightly?
I think it's unavoidable how current it feels. Like the words we're saying feel so current. We say, hey, hey, USA, how many kids did you kill today? Every day. I say, my country tis of the sweet land of liberty, which the word liberty always hits me every day in a very strong way. It's hard to read the news before you go on stage, or maybe it's the right thing to be doing. It's unavoidable. I think in lots of ways, and I'm sure for you guys, like being men in the cast, it's uniquely current as well. But playing a female protester feels extremely emotional and current to me every day.
It's so magical to kind of to be among everyone together. I'm at the same time chanting all these things, and we all collectively feel the same way. I at least think so about politics right now and where we are, and it's so awesome. And I wish you can feel that energy every time we do that. I mean, we're yelling, we're going for it, and it's crazy to watch the audience members really take that in. Every word, and we say a lot of words in some of these songs, and you can see their faces. This stage is so intimate, and it really affects them, and that's really kind of special.
So when you tell your friends that you're doing Hair, what do they say to you?
Are you getting naked?
Well, that's exactly what I'm going to ask. That, and that's it, right? Yeah. I mean, that's what most people think of when they think of the show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is that the first thing you thought of?
No. First thing I thought of was like, this is so cool. Because I've never had the opportunity to, I've never seen anyone who looks like me play the role that I'm playing now, Burger.
Okay. Describe your look for the people on the radio.
I am a Latinx male. I am late 20s. I am a proud Puerto Rican, Colombian, and Dominican. And I've never seen anyone that looks like me or identifies as a Latinx person play the role of Burger. So that to me was a huge, huge honor in itself. Such a privilege, such an honor, and kind of it was very nerve-wracking for me, because you have a lot of baggage, and it's like you carry the load of the people after you, who are therefore will be the burgers of the world. So that was the first thing I thought. The nudity comes later, especially when I was talking to my parents about that. My mom's like, "Really? You're gonna get naked? Wow!" But I wouldn't say that was the first thing I thought of.
Also, yeah. Daisy was really cool about having personal conversations with every cast member, mm-hmm. just to make sure that they felt comfortable, to make sure every person understood why we're doing it, why it fits in the story, why it's important.
The nudity and mm-hmm. The Daisy Walker.
Yes, and also allowing people to make a decision about whether they felt comfortable with it, and there was no pressure.
So if you didn't, even though it was part of the show, mm-hmm. if you didn't feel comfortable, you didn't have to do
nope.
it. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, that's good.
Yeah,
that's
it was great.
With that said, everyone is doing it, I assume.
Well, 12 people are doing it, or 11 maybe?
12 people.
12. Yeah, 12. Yeah.
Are you, all three of you are naked?
No.
I'm not naked.
I'm not either.
I think I'm the only one in this room that gets naked.
Yeah.
Okay, so
which is great.
All right, so all right, love it. All right, let's work through that. Why is that so great?
Oh, personally, or I mean, in the context of the show, it's really kind of cool and special to do that amongst your castmates. It's this bond that you have. We talk about why we're doing it, how we're doing it. We talk about space and the way we're touching each other, and I think that's just super important now. More than ever, and especially for art and for the sake of art. And we're doing it because it's important in the context of the show. Personally, I would have never in a million thousand years ever thought that I would get naked in a show or, you know, ever do that. And here I am. And it's very nerve-wracking, but I love it every day.
And in 30 seconds, did you made a conscious decision to say no?
I'm singing a song at the front of the stage when this is going on, and they're all getting naked. We talked about one of the reasons is feeling this feeling of liberation that there's no clothes holding me back. Like, yeah. This is my body. I'm here. And I don't burn my draft card right before I make the choice not to. So I'm still feeling held back by these societal bonds that I'm still having. So it didn't really feel appropriate for me to be getting naked along with everybody else who just burned their draft card.
It's Hair, and it's an amazing show, and the Berkshire Theater Group production of it is running at the Unicorn Theater in Stockbridge through August 11th. You can learn more at berkshiretheatergroup.org. A great pleasure to have all three of you on the program.
Thank you so much.
Andrew, Brandon, and Kayla, thank you so much.
Thank
Be well.
You.
Again, berkshiretheatergroup.org for more information. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.